ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Sylvie here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. We're filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today. Usually we produced this show from 2 to 6 here on ESPN 1000, Waddle and Sylvie. We also host from 6 to 8 every night here on ESPN 1000, Black and Abdallah. So Black and Abdallah in for Waddle and Sylvie today. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Bears beat the Lions yesterday 16-14. And really, the takeaways from the game are not as important as the larger conversation with the Chicago Bears. We all feel as if this is moving in a direction that Matt Nagy at the end of the season will likely be gone. Barring something remarkable taking place for the Bears at the end of the year, I doubt he'll be back. Now, the Bears beat the Lions, and the Lions have no wins. They're 0-10-1. But the Bears are now 4-7. They're nowhere in the playoff picture. As I was telling you a couple hours ago, that this team is just looking to fight their way back to 500, because that's where all of the teams who have wild card positions at the moment in the NFC, that's where they're all hanging around. They're all at 5-5. If you can somehow get your team to 500, you'll be in that conversation. I'm not saying you're making the playoffs. You'll be in the conversation. When we look back at our thoughts before the football season started, I thought the Bears would be right there. I thought they'd be a 500 team. I thought they'd go 9-8, but they'd miss the playoffs, because I think to get into the playoffs in the NFC, I thought you'd have to get to 10 wins. 10-7 would be that mark. So that sets a table for this team now going into the end of the season. And as a Bears fan, what you think going forward of what this team should do as far as the front office, the head coach, moves in the offseason, there's a lot to kind of consider when you think about the Chicago Bears in 2022, when it feels like our hopes have been dashed here in 2021.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at the remainder of the schedule, right? You say get back to 500, right? Well, Arizona this week is tough.
Not likely.
Green Bay.
Not likely.
Minnesota, maybe. Since Seattle is only 3-7, New York's really bad, the Giants are really bad, and then you get Minnesota again. So it's going to be tough to get back to 500. Is it doable? Sure, anything's doable. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. But to try to play, you know, the Cardinals, which, you know, we haven't even mentioned it today. Roquan Smith with the hamstring might miss some time here. They're debating an IR stint. Is what Matt Nagy was saying today. They're looking at the hamstring. He's going to try to do everything he can to get back on the field as quickly as possible. But that's something. And if you don't have Roquan, like, that's, he's been, him and Robert Quinn have been your two best defensive players by far this year. And if he's not there with Kyler Murray running all over the place, like, if he's back and fully healthy, then that's going to be very tough. So to me, it's not about getting back to 500. It's not about stringing together any amount of wins. Like, this is a team that, these games, unless Justin Fields is playing and showing progress, these games are meaningless, because a bunch of these defensive players might not be here next season. Yeah, you're still going to have guys that you have under contract. You're still going to have Roquan Smith. You're still going to have a bunch of these dudes. But for the most part, you're going to see a lot of turnover on that side of the ball. You're going to see a lot of turnover, or some turnover, at least at the wide receiver position. You mentioned Darnell Mooney having a good game and coming on and being, you know, could he be a number one wide receiver when Allen Robinson moves on from this team from next season? If he does move on, can he be a true number one wide receiver? He's developed decent chemistry, it seems like, with Justin Fields. So there are things to look at when you're winning. But to me, if Justin Fields isn't playing, then these might as well be preseason games, because they just don't matter.
I was listening to you on Black and Abdallah on Tuesday night. Abdallah, you had an interesting thought here. As we look for the end of this season, into the offseason, if you're a Bears fan, your question was, what is on your wish list?
Yeah.
You're a Bears fan.
People are out shopping today?
Yeah.
It's Black Friday, or as you call it, Black Friday.
Black Friday, 30% off.
it went down.
No, I know. The day's getting shorter.
It was 50.
Yeah, no, you had to be there early. You had to wait in line early for the Plex sales.
I wanted to know what people wanted. You know, ideally, there is a new head coach of this football team. Ideally, there is possibly a new GM of this football team. Who do you have your eyes on? Who do you, like, whether it's, I was getting ideas, everything from Jim Harbaugh. I said Brian Daboll for my head coach. You know, people want it. Well, people want what they see.
Yeah, I know.
So the common was Peyton Manning, Lewis Riddick for president, GM, whatever, and then Harbaugh for head coach.
All right. So if you want to join the conversation, 312-332-3776, your Bears wish list as we finish up this 2021 season, but obviously in the offseason, hopefully the Bears will be looking for some new people in personnel positions, like in the front office and or a head coach. So I'm listening to you on Tuesday night.
Did you make a list?
I made a list for myself. Now, I have to tell you this. I have a theme. First off, I'm done with first-timers. Not for me. I'm not interested.
What do you want? You like old?
I want someone who has been a head coach before. I get it. There's a lot of little names out there.
Little names?
Little offensive coordinators.
Daboll's a little name?
I'm saying everyone says the same names. Daboll.
Bieniemy.
Yeah. Coordinators. I got it. On my list, it's the majority of my list. It's guys who have been head coaches in the National Football League mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work out well. Or college coaches who were head football coaches.
Chris's list is Bill Cowher.
No. I heard that call on Tuesday night. That's not good. I think you answered. You were like, he hasn't been in football.
When was the last time he coached a team?
So here's on my list. This is what I'm looking for. Now, we could get into the whole front office angle of this. I find it hard to believe that a GM will be able to hire the third head coach in his tenure.
Mm-hmm.
So likely if Nagy is out, Ryan Pace is out, because also think about the issues with this football team. It's not all coaching. It's also the depth and the lack thereof on
mm-hmm.
the defensive side of the ball, offensive side. Like, think about it. Your number one wide receiver goes down. Who do you have? You got Mooney running out there. I thought he was nice. He's not a number one wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Bird? Bird's out there dropping passes.
Yeah.
Like, number two, three, and four, like, those guys who are filling in, once you move Mooney up to one, it's mm-hmm. like, this is not a wide receiver core. Mm-hmm. This is terrible. I would say the same to your cornerbacks. Like, the whole thing with Kendall Vildor all season,
oh, yeah.
he was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
There's no depth there. And you created that hole in the roster.
Oh, yeah.
You had Kyle Fuller there.
Yep.
Like, remember when it was Fuller and Prince Amukamara, and you had guys who were stable that you could trust as your corners?
Absolutely.
I like Jalen Johnson, but you need better depth.
Yeah.
All right. So what I was going to say is, for the front office position, you could give me a whole bunch of different names. I could agree with you, but I've got head coaches here for you on my list. Head coaches. These are people that I think the Bears should talk to. Names they should talk to. I would talk to David Shaw. He's a head coach at Stanford. He's been at Stanford for a very long time. He's had a lack of success as of late. And I wonder if just him in a new spot, being a, quote, leader of men, if David Shaw would be a nice fit in the NFL. Your thoughts?
I mean, what's he won, 2 games this year?
Yeah. As of late, Stanford has not been good.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to recruit.
Get out of recruiting.
Yeah. I mean, I like the name. I just, to me in college, if you're coming over from college to pro, you need to have proven yourself that you can win big games, right? Like, when people threw out Jim Harbaugh,
yeah.
I said, what has he done? What has he done at Michigan?
He took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. I know that much.
Okay. How long ago was that?
It was quite some time.
Okay. And people will say, oh, look what he got out of Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying Justin Fields is Colin Kaepernick, but who did he develop? Who did he take as a raw quarterback and turn into a great quarterback? He hasn't done that.
You're not giving him any credit for Andrew Luck?
Andrew Luck was good regardless.
Okay, all right.
Andrew Luck was good regardless. Like, that's why someone called in and said Mario Cristobal. And I said, why? He didn't use Justin Herbert, and look at what Justin Herbert can do. I was wrong about Justin Herbert because of Mario Cristobal.
All All right.
It's his fault. Not my fault. It's his fault.
I got more names for you.
So to me, to my answer is Shaw. What has he done?
Okay. What has he done?
All right.
I'll give you another name. How about the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach for the Buffalo Bills, Leslie Frazier?
That's not bad.
I would talk to Leslie Frazier. He's also a former Bears player.
Absolutely.
He understands the history of the franchise.
Yeah. You feel that meat quotient right there.
Yeah,
if you're checking off boxes, meat checked.
Familiar with the franchise. Mm-hmm. The family knows him.
Mm-hmm.
He had an opportunity as a head coach in the league. Didn't work out his way. Now he's worked his way to being a very good defensive coordinator with multiple teams, including a team that has one of the best defenses in the National Football League right now, the Buffalo Bills. I would talk to Leslie Frazier.
Okay.
I think that would be a nice hire. Now, again, I'm looking at stable guys who have been head coaches before. We need to stabilize the defense.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about, oh, we got to get someone to develop Justin Fields. We got to get someone offensive guru. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
I want a stable football team. I assume Fields will figure it out at some point, and then you can kind of match the two. So I would talk to Leslie Frazier. Same idea. I would talk to Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles, defensive coordinator with the Bucs. He used to be a head coach. You're shaking your head. What do you have against Todd Bowles?
I don't want a defensive guy.
See, I think you're making a mistake there.
I don't.
I think you need a guy who's been a head coach before.
Okay, fine.
Many of the offensive coordinators have never been a head coach before.
But I don't want a defensive guy.
I've got Todd Bowles on my list.
Because then your offensive coordinator is a revolving door of people constantly if you get a good one. And you don't think Fields is going to make the offensive coordinators look good?
Yeah, I know. That's a theory.
You've said that multiple times.
All right, but like look at other strong franchises, stability, head coaches who could do either. It's not necessarily only offensive guys. Mike Tomlin isn't an offensive guy.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin. No, they don't fire.
Belichick, not an offensive
guy.
They give their
guys time. He also had Ben Roethlisberger. Like,
I'm just saying.
He has a Hall of Fame quarterback.
I would also talk to two college coaches right now to see if they're interested. I would talk to Ryan Day. I would talk to Brian Kelly. I would engage with Brian Kelly and find out if he's interested in moving to the NFL.
I don't know. I think the only college guy that I would consider is Ryan Day.
I would talk to Brian Kelly. I think Brian Kelly is a stable, good head football coach. This is what they're missing. They need leadership. They need a guy who can stabilize the franchise.
Can't win the big game either, but cool.
Mm-hmm. I would like a guy who's been a head coach.
All right.
And then if I had to give you a name of someone who hasn't, I would give you Byron Leftwich. Yeah. I think Byron Leftwich is going to be a hell of a coach.
I agree with you. I'm only skeptical about Leftwich because how much better does Brady make him look?
But he was like a candidate hot name before Brady got there.
I know. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I like him. I would say this, that I'm more worried about if you look at the group of offensive coordinators. The one I'm kind of the most worried at, and it might be because Nagy has ruined it, is Eric Bieniemy. Like, again, is it the same? Is it going to be the same situation if you bring in Eric Bieniemy? And the reason I like Dable is because look at the transformation of Josh Allen. Like, that's all offensive coordinator head coach of. Like, that to me is if he can take Josh Allen and turn him into what Josh Allen is now. That's what I want.
I would throw this out there. Bieniemy, will there be better jobs out there for him? Does he jump to one of these top college programs?
He could,
and
yeah.
Would he prefer to be running LSU than, say, the Chicago Bears,
well,
or
think
USC
about it.
Than the Chicago Bears?
If you look at the way college football has been going, James Franklin gets an extension. It was announced today. I can never remember his name. The guy from Baylor just got an extension, and that was a rumored job for someone to take over for USC or LSU. And so when you look at this, all of these coaches are staying. That's what you may start to see is offensive coordinators coming over to college and taking the LSU job, taking the USC job. Bieniemy was rumored for the USC job. So you might see that, and those guys might not be available.
I was listening to you on Tuesday night. I heard your list.
Oh, thanks.
There's my list. What do you think? At 312-332-3776. We'll take your calls. It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie. Who is on your Bears wish list? You're looking for coaches. You're looking for front office executives. Who's on your wish list? We'll take your calls next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Talking Abdallah, filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Talking football with you at 312-332-3776. Brad on the Kennedy. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good, man. How was yours? Good,
thanks.
It was low-key, but, you know, just nice, nice. I was able to watch the game. So, you know, going into the game, honestly, I was like, at this point, I don't care. Just blow out the Lions. Then I was like, wait, I took the Lions plus 10. So blow them out, but within 10 points. But at this point, you know, with the season, Nagy's going to be here to the end of the season no matter what happens, I think. You know, I think everyone's just going to swallow that. He's going to be our coach. And then at the end of the game there, I'm like, you guys ever see that meme where it's like the three Spider-Mans or the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other?
Mm-hmm.
That was like Nagy and Campbell yesterday afternoon. It was like, who's who? You couldn't tell. And then one last thing, Chris, when you were talking like coaches, I was so glad that you didn't say Jason Garrett. So I just wanted to say that. You guys have a good one. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Brad. We appreciate it. Abdallah gave his list, coaches he wants. I gave mine. I want guys that have experience. Not necessarily offense or defensive guys, just guys that have been head coaches before, maybe looking for that second opportunity. I just think, didn't we learn our lesson here with this Nagy situation? Guy who's never done it, clearly not prepared for the gig.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it can't work.
I'm not saying it can't, but not every offensive coordinator that you hire is going to be Sean McVay.
Okay. What about Brandon Staley?
He was a defensive coordinator.
That's fair. He's a defensive guy.
Very good.
He's a defensive guy.
I agree. I like him a lot.
But I'm saying, like, first time, it doesn't, just because one didn't work, like, you don't have to be, I feel like you're being very Bears about this, where you.
I'm being Bears?
You are.
Those are fighting words.
That's fine.
That's not appropriate.
That's fine.
You want to go?
No, I don't.
You want to grapple?
But I'm saying that just because you have it doesn't work doesn't mean you have to go to the immediate extreme. Like, that's what we saw before. They went from Lovey, defensive guy, but we need a weird offensive guy. So let's go with Mark Trestman. That didn't work. Pivot 100. Go
a
completely
weird offensive guy. Yeah.
Just go the complete opposite direction and let's get John Fox. Well, okay, that didn't work. A complete other direction. Let's get Matt Nagy. Like, just because it doesn't work doesn't mean you need to pivot the entire way around. Like, you can still just find the right guy. He doesn't have to have coached before just because Nagy didn't work.
I understand that. And you're right. I don't have to pivot to the opposite side of things.
I know you want stability.
I just
want
someone
yes.
who has experience.
I get that. But don't rule out people without head coaching experience because it's proven that it does work.
It's fair.
It's just the Bears aren't good at hiring that guy.
LP Hallis in Lincoln Park listening and watching us on Twitch. LP Hallis, what do you think?
How's it going, Chris? How's it going, Adam?
What up?
Hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving.
You as well.
I just wanted to chime in because I think one head coaching candidate, he's not technically on the market, I don't think, but somebody I would personally like to see back is Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera has demonstrated his ability as head coach. He has a connection to the Chicago Bears. He has the ability to develop young quarterbacks like he did with Cam Newton, and he's been with a dumpster fire of a franchise with Washington. I want him out of that situation as much as I want him in the Bears situation. I think he'd be a great addition. I want to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, good call, Hallis. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for always watching us in the Twitch chat. Ron Rivera, that would be I would talk to him. If he was available, again, I would put him on my list of guys to talk to.
I don't know if he's available, though.
Doesn't he create stability?
Yeah, and like they
love
him
exactly right. Isn't that exactly what the Bears should have?
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone like that?
Absolutely.
Someone who's done it, who's been a head coach before, who the players respect. But the organization knows, right?
So he signed a 5-year contract in 2019, at the end of the 2019 season.
So he's probably not available.
No.
What if we, like, Joe Maddon, Chicago Cubs this, where they just kind of finagle him out of the Washington football team?
Well, didn't he get...
Yeah.
Didn't he... Wasn't Maddon let go, though?
I mean, it was not...
It was an ownership contract, that if ownership changed, he could get out of that deal, and he did. It was in his contract already. That's what I remember.
It was one of those, the second free agency came open for Lonzo Ball. 1 minute later, he was signed. It was one of those with Joe Maddon in the Cubs.
A little back-channel action. Yeah. Colin in Vegas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Colin?
Gentlemen, good afternoon to you. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
You too, man.
Thank you. I got to tell you, no, never Brian Kelly. Never, ever, ever, ever Brian Kelly. I think that was a terrible idea. I don't like him in any way, shape, or form. I won't get into the other specifics because we all said it before, but, I mean, Notre Dame is an absolute joke. Number one, they think they're an Irish school. There's nothing Irish about that school. It's a French school because Notre Dame, the Church of Notre Dame is in Paris, France. And I don't, I mean, Brian Kelly, I don't even think he has, I don't think he has the experience. I don't think he has the wherewithal to be able to handle an NFL job. Certainly not with the Bears. I mean, just, I would rather go with Byron Leftwich. And I agree with you that someone with serious, serious experience. That's what I want. But something, you know, people who are competent and have a clue.
Yeah, I'm with you, Colin. Abdallah, you got something to ask Colin?
Colin, do it.
You bet. That is one hand and one giant leap for mankind. Have a nice day.
It's great. It's great.
See you, Colin. Thanks for your phone call. Now, the Brian Kelly thought for me comes from looking around college football for coaches who have been in a spot for a very long time that have won at a very high level. Now, Notre Dame is not what they used to be in the 80s, but they are a relevant team. They are a top 10 team almost every single year.
Mm-hmm.
Has he won a national title? No, but he's been there for a long time as the head coach, and I think that that's what I was looking for. I'm not going to suggest Dabo Sweeney or names of guys who have never been rumored before for other gigs. Brian Kelly's been in NFL rumors before.
Oh, absolutely. He has for sure, especially here.
If you follow college football, there was even a weird Brian Kelly to USC rumor that was floated out there, I'm guessing by his agent, to get a contract, Notre Dame to pay up even more if they're suggesting that their arch rival is looking to hire the whole thing. Well, I'm just saying that that's a name that's usually
out there. How much does he make now there? I wonder how much he makes now there. It's not $9.5 million a year or $8.5 million that Franklin's getting. Like, it's not anywhere near. Like, these contracts are going to get insane now. Like, they set the bar by giving out close to $10 million deals with Texas A&M. Now everybody wants one. And if you're not willing to pay for it, there's another school that is.
From what I see is that he makes just under $2 million a year.
Oh, he's getting a raise this year.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be rumored for the Bears job. The second Nagy's fired, he will be rumored for the Bears job just to get a raise.
Harding in Charlotte, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. What's up, Harding?
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing?
We're good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I saw the perfect script written last night on Twitter after the Bears game. And I'll set the scene for you. So you guys have the Bears down 13-14. The spider cam zooms in on Matt Nagy standing next to the referee, looking up at the scoreboard, looking at the clock, waiting for his time to call that timeout to set up that game-winning field goal. You have the seconds hit 3-2. Matt Nagy then makes eye contact with the spider cam, the entire country watching, and he never calls the timeout. He literally just lets the clock go down 1-0, and he walks off that way and just takes the loss. I tell you, if that would have been written for a Netflix movie, it would have been the number one movie in the country. I would have loved it. But that's all I got to say, guys. Have a wonderful holiday.
Harding, what's the cliffhanger? Next episode, what happens? The Bears just fire him in Detroit?
He coaches his son's high school team to 5 national championships or something. That's the next one. That's what the white text on the black screen says when you zoom off with the music.
Yeah, and then they're chanting, "Hire Nagy," right? And then that's how it ends. Is after that?
Right, exactly.
Thanks for the call, Harding. Appreciate it, man. That's Harding in Charlotte listening on the ESPN Chicago app. It's Black and Abdallah filling in for Waddle and Sylvie today. Every Thursday on Black and Abdallah, Thursday nights. Go ahead. You had something to add?
Yeah, just one more thing. We're 6 holes through the match.
Hold on. You interrupted me for a bit.
Yeah. I'm giving people, we're halfway through the match, and Brooks Koepka's 3 up. He's running away with it.
No one cares.
DeChambeau can't putt, apparently. I'm not watching. We're getting updates on Twitter.
This is new to you?
No H.
This is new to you.
I don't watch golf.
DeChambeau can't putt?
I don't watch golf. I like playing it. I don't like watching it.
He just wants to swing it.
But Brooks Koepka, 3 up through 6, as this is halfway over. They're only playing 12 holes. And honestly, Bryson might stop. Like, once he's mathematically eliminated, he might just stop.
Yeah, because he's a loser.
Exactly.
So.
He might pull the aux cord or pull the power cord off the PlayStation.
All right. Can I give the tease now?
Go ahead. Yeah. Give your proper tease.
All right.
Shuffle your papers. Give your proper tease.
Thursday nights with Bluck and Abdallah at 6:35. We talk to the Fat Jack to preview the gambling weekend. Since Bluck and Abdallah are in for Waddle and Sylvie today, the Fat Jack will join us next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sylvie with Bluck and Abdallah filling in today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. We've spent a lot of time today talking about the Chicago Bears and their win over the Lions yesterday, 16-14. Abdallah, as we have a whole weekend of college football to continue to watch, to enjoy. College football today, college football tomorrow, and then the NFL on Sunday.
It's a great just week of sports because you get so much football spread out. Because like it's the same amount of football. It's just spread out a little more so you can watch more of it. It's great. I love it.
It's the best. And each Thursday night on Bluck and Abdallah, we get a chance to talk to the Fat Jack at 6:35. We weren't on the air last night. We're in for Waddle and Sylvie today. So now we get a chance to talk to the Fat Jack right now. And you got to go to his website, fatjacksports.com. You can also follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack. You can call 800-298-1383. Jack, how was your Thanksgiving and how'd the picks do last week?
Everything's great, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys, and happy Black Friday. Hope everybody's getting all their deals. Our selections were 6-0 last weekend. Penguins won. And more impressive than that, guys, everybody go to fatjacksports.com, look under the results tab. You'll see that the basketball since last Monday is – there were 15-2 in basketball since last Monday. And we have games going right now, actually. So everything's posted. Everybody gets the same picks. They're texted to your cell phone. They're emailed to you. And then they're posted online, so you're able to see exactly that you're getting the top selections. And 15-2, hard to screw that up. Football's not been as good the last 2 days, but, I mean, I'm certainly not going to apologize for it. We've had an unbelievable season. We've had one losing week, $100 players up over $6,000. And, we, like I said, we swept the board with our selections last week. So we did it. We had Nebraska earlier as an opinion, and they did what Nebraska does, which is act like a bunch of chokers. And then we've got a couple more going today. Big card tomorrow, big card on Monday, or excuse me, on Sunday. So very excited about the weekend. We've only had one losing week all year in football. So very excited about the weekend. And basketball, I mean, is just next level good right now. So great time to get signed up.
Let's look at the NFL first. I always ask you about overreactions, underreactions. This Bucks-Colts game, the Bucks are a 3-point favorite. The Colts absolutely demolished the Bills, who looked good yesterday beating the Saints. This spread seems right about where you think it would be. Which way would you go in this game?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know what to do with the Bucs. You know, they've been injured. They're not consistent. We say that about a lot of teams. You know, this has been the year of not only underdogs, but just, you know, really good teams that we think we have a handle on losing straight up, not just not covering. Home teams are 74-86-1 straight up, so they're 12 games under 500 overall. And this is a spot where, I mean, if Brady and company come out and play like they, you know, have played the last year or so, they're going to be great. But the Colts are dangerous. I mean, this is a team that's heading the right direction. Two teams trending in different directions for sure. The Bucs still banged up in the secondary a little bit. And offensively, I mean, they're not that balanced. I mean, we're just, you know, a week or so ago away, you know, 10 days away from the Bucs looking like they were, you know, like kind of a dumpster fire. So I actually like the Colts here at home. I think they'll be able to run the ball. If they run, they'll be able to stay ahead of the chains, keep Brady on the sideline, and that defensive secondary still banged up for the Bucs. That'll open up some shots for Indy. So I'll take Colts plus the points here.
Jack, when we look at the Eagles, I think they've been playing better football as of late. Do they have the opportunity to be a pretty good team as we head into the final weeks of this season from November into December? What do you think of the Eagles? They're on the road this week against the Giants. The Eagles are the favorite by 3.5. That's a lot to cover as a team on the road like the Eagles. What do you think?
Yeah, who has the worst fans, the Eagles or the Giants? I mean, or the Browns? I mean, all three are mad the minute they step out of the house. I mean, you really have to do something to make them like their team. But Philadelphia is looking more balanced for sure. I think Denver's willing to, you know, they have circled the wagons. I'm in Breckenridge right now, and everything is good. This is their game. So they believe that if they get it done here,
that they have a shot. If they don't, the playoffs are a distant memory, and they're going to be looking looking different directions. So I think the Eagles are definitely going the right direction. I would play under the total. Excuse me, I didn't mean the Broncos. I meant the Giants. But I'm looking under in the game for sure. So again, I don't think there will be a lot of points. Both of these teams will try to play mistake-free, not turn the ball over. Total's down to 45.5 now. I was thinking Denver because the breakdown for Denver in their game is very similar to the Eagles and the Giants, which is under first. Don't play a side because you're going to have two teams trying not to lose. So similar to what we saw with the Bears. I actually like under the 45.5, and I do think the Giants have a chance to win here, but I can't bet them. They're also banged up. Their identity on offense is nothing, really. They look really very inconsistent, but the Eagles are trending the right way, but play under in the game. 45.5, too many points in this.
How about the Patriots? They've won 5 games in a row. They're a 7-point favorite against a very beat-up Tennessee team. They seem like a team that if they make the playoffs, that's the last team I want to face. But for this game, is there value in a beat-up Tennessee team with the spread being 7?
You know, we see teams every week that look like they're too hurt to compete, and they end up sometimes winning. How have the backup quarterbacks done this year? I mean, they've been very, very strong against the number and actually won straight up. The coach for Tennessee undefeated against Belichick, and he does really well against his former coaches, but not in this case. Head coach undefeated against Belichick, and actually Tennessee this year, they've had injuries before, and everybody overreacted that. Tennessee is an underdog, 5-0 straight up, 5-0 against the spread, and so Vegas likes New England here. I mean, the number's almost up to a touchdown. I actually think there's some value in playing Tennessee, more than just about a lot of teams in the NFL have been good at playing with backups, that kind of a plug-and-play mentality. And I think there's too much value there. And I'm getting points from a team that literally every game this year they've gotten points. They've not only covered, they've won. So I actually like Tennessee, but you're absolutely right. You don't want to play New England in the playoffs. The coaching staff knows what they're doing there, and they are a team that are getting – we always hear this about freshmen. That every time out they're getting, they're not a freshman anymore by the end of the year. Well, you're getting that with the Patriots. They've got a lot of young players, namely quarterback, and every single week that goes by, they're looking less and less like rookies. And so Patriots, certainly a dangerous team, but I do think there's some value here with the Titans because of all their injuries. I play Tennessee plus the points.
We're previewing the gambling weekend with the Fat Jack. It's Pluck and Abdallah sitting in for Waddle and Sylvie today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. Before the season, Jack, you told us to bet on the Rams to win the Super Bowl. The Rams are on the road this week at Green Bay. How do you think of the Rams' chances this week against the Packers?
Yeah, Packers, another team that's really banged up. And so you're getting a team on the road. And we talk about this a lot during the year in the NFL, regressing toward the mean, meaning you're not as good as you look at your best, but you're not as bad as you look at your best. I gave you the Rams preseason to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, that looked great for a month or so. Now it doesn't look so good. But you're never as bad as you appear. And the Rams, I do believe, will regress back to the mean here. They're up to a 1.5 favorite with all the injuries with the Packers. Giving Aaron Rodgers points, never a really good idea. But I like the Rams here. I think they go on the road. And they do play better than the perception. The general public loves to look what happened 6 or 7 days ago and believe that's going to happen again. That's why most of them are broke this time of year, not being able to gamble anymore, because it doesn't work like that in the NFL. Look for the Rams to play better, be able to run the ball more effectively against this Packer defense that's banged up. I like the Rams minus. I got them at plus the point. Now they're minus the 1.5. Still some good value there. I'll play the Rams on the road.
It's a great weekend of college football as well. You've got the Iron Bowl. You've got Bedlam. And, of course, you've got the game. Michigan and Ohio State. What is stopping this game from turning into Ohio State, Michigan State from last week?
Yeah, that's a great question, because Vegas loves Michigan here. I can't help but think Harbaugh is going to be Harbaugh. I mean, at some point he gets in a spot like this where he's got the whole world in front of him and he lays an egg. But Vegas really likes Michigan. There's some sharps like Michigan. This number is actually dropping. It got up to 8, 8.5, now down to like 7. I can't line up and play with the general public, which I do believe is going to be mainly on Ohio State here. Because, as you said, it's not like we're just looking at how hot Ohio State's been. It's we saw a very similar game against Michigan State, and look how that turned out. It got really, really ugly. But this is not the type that they do not believe. Vegas does not believe this is going to be a repeat. They like Michigan here plus the points. So I would steer clear of it. Don't go bet your bankroll on this thing, because Vegas typically is right when their numbers are like this. We saw this earlier with the Nebraska game.
And Nebraska won three games. They're playing an Iowa team that won nine, and they were a point favorite by the time the thing kicked off. They literally had to grab defeat from the jaws of victory to lose it. But this is similar to that. And a team, I think you look on the surface, you're going to say, how's Michigan going to be able to keep up scoring-wise? I can't answer that question, so I'm going to steer clear of the game. There's much better spots on Saturday. But if you make me play, just a slight lean toward Ohio State.
Jack, if any of our listeners or any of our new listeners head to your website, fatjacksports.com, what will they find there at that website?
Well, they're going to get honesty and transparency, which should be very, very important to guys if you're thinking about signing up for anybody. Everybody gets the exact same plays. They're posted. They're documented on the website. And then you get, when you sign up, you get the picks text to your cell phone and emailed to you, along with a recommended betting guide to tell you exactly what to do with those plays. So you know you're getting only the best selection, not the underdog inside lock of the millennium, none of that BS. You get the best plays, the games I'm playing in the state of Colorado right now. I'll be in Vegas next weekend and making a ton of money. As I said, 15-2 in basketball since last Monday. Football's gone unbelievably well. All those games are posted. Go to fatjacksports.com. It doesn't cost that much to win. Betting on sports, you could get $149, get you all the football through Monday, or football and basketball, $189 through Monday. The longer package is less than $100 a week to make money betting the game. So go to fatjacksports.com, sign up today, and win this weekend.
Thank you, Jack. Have a great weekend. Good luck on the picks, and we'll talk to you next Thursday night at 6:35 right here on ESPN 1000.
All right, guys, happy late turkey day, and have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. The Fat Jack. Go to fatjacksports.com. Follow him on Twitter, at the Fat Jack. You can also call 800-298-1383. What to watch for is next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
And Sylvie here on ESPN 1000. Bleck and Abdallah filling in for the guys today here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. On a Friday, a football Friday, on Waddle and Sylvie, we like to get to like it, love it, just a taste of it.
I like it, I love it.
Just a little taste of it.
Like it, I love it, I want some more of it.
Where are we at, Abdallah? You got the standings?
You've got 35 points in the lead. I've got 28 points. Waddle's got 26 points. Sylvie, 19 points.
So no one really made up ground. I went 0 for 3 last week.
No, you went 1 and 2.
I got one last week?
The Cardinals covered last week.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. They won outright.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So you want my
you got to start, bro.
All right, my like.
Give me your like. I got the other guy's picks, which are interesting, but go ahead.
What do you mean you got their picks?
I will tell you in a second.
All right, give me, for my like, I like the Minnesota Vikings on the road at the San Francisco 49ers. The Vikings are getting 3 points. I know the 49ers have been hot as of late.
Hot.
I think I'll take the points in this contest. It'll be a close game. Vikings plus the 3 is my like.
All right, I'm going to go to Saturday as per usual. I know we just talked to Fat Jack, and he said he would stay away from the Ohio State game. I'm going to refuse to do that. I like Ohio State to win this game. It's 7.5 right now. I think Ohio State, as long as it's under 10, I'm confident in Ohio State winning this game. And so it's 7.5 right now. I like Ohio State. Waddle likes a game that already ended.
Oh, okay.
Waddle.
All right. Well, you got timestamps there on the text.
I do.
So.
He texted me this morning.
Yeah, there you
go. To be fair.
All right.
To be fair, he texted me this morning.
He has a winner already?
He took the over in the Iowa-Nebraska game, and it went over.
Okay. All right.
Congrats to Waddle.
Congrats on all that scored. All
right. Sylvie likes the Colts plus 3 for his like.
All right. Fantastic.
Against the Bucks. He agrees with Fat Jack. What's your love, sir?
My love, give me, I'm looking at the Cleveland-Baltimore game, NBC, the Sunday night game. The Ravens are the favorite by 3.5 points. I see on DraftKings, though, we're using DraftKings. I see 4 points.
All right.
Browns and Ravens.
Yep.
Give me the points. Give me the Browns on the road plus the 4. Sunday night football against the Ravens plus the 4 with Cleveland.
I'm going to go to the Iron Bowl for my love. Over 57, Bama, Auburn. Auburn can't stop the pass. Bama can't stop anybody. Give me the over 57. It's going to be like 45-21 or something like that. I'll take the over in the Iron Bowl. Waddle loves Kansas State plus 3.
Okay.
And Sylvie loves the Washington football team minus a point.
All right. Okay. A little taste. Give me on the road, the Carolina Panthers minus 2 on the road against the Dolphins.
Panthers
Dolphins
minus 2?
Dolphins are 4-7. They host the Panthers, but the Panthers are the favorite. They've been playing good football as of late with Cam Newton back at quarterback. Minus the 2. I'll take the Panthers. I'll taste a little Panthers there. Minus the 2.
Can I do what Waddle did and like Iowa?
Sure.
No.
There's
a
route.
There's a story going around from Brett McMurphy. Michigan State has been hit by the flu and could be without up to 20 players, including 6 to 8 starters against Penn State. Give me Penn State minus 2 is my taste.
Well, COVID play.
No, it's not. It's a flu. It's not COVID. He made it very clear that it's
COVID
a flu.
Play there.
Waddle is getting a taste of Florida State plus 3. You might want to get tested after you do that. And Sylvie is going with an NBA play tonight. He likes Vucevic over 15.5 points tonight against the Orlando Magic.
That All is right.
Like it, love it, taste it.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
All right, now we go to What to Watch For as we head into the weekend, Abdallah. I'll lead off on this one because not only will I be watching for this, because you can watch us on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. Tomorrow morning, Chicago's College Tailgate, Rivalry Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
The final weekend of the regular season in college football at 11 a.m. when we kick off Luck and Abdallah with Chicago's College Tailgate from 11 to 1 p.m., Ohio State on the road at Michigan. We will have our eyes on that game. Georgia plays in the early window. Baylor's playing in the early window. A lot of great college football to watch tomorrow, including Alabama and Auburn later on in the afternoon.
We'll talk a lot of Bedlam, too. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and what it means for them as well. What to Watch For is brought to you by Swift & Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop, Fulton, in the West Loop's Fulton Market District. Check them out. Executive Chef Chris Pandel. Chicago Steakhouse with a modern twist, like I said, located in the Fulton Market. They're open for reservations right now. They're also available for takeout and delivery. And make sure you check out Swift & Sons Tavern across the street from Wrigley Field. One of my favorite shows is back tonight. It is called How To with John Wilson. It is produced by Nathan Fielder of Nathan For You. If you ever seen Nathan For You, it's a relatively the same kind of humor. The first season was fantastic. It's essentially a guy walks around New York with his camera and film stuff. It's super weird. It's super funny. It's on HBO. It comes back tonight. So you can check that out. How To with John Wilson. It is a great show.
Erica Strowski is producing tonight's show. Erica, do you have anything you're watching for this weekend?
Yeah, if you haven't seen King Richard yet, it's out on HBO Max. I watched it this week. It's like 2.5 hours, but the pacing and everything is quick. It's good. Will Smith's obviously great, and the actress that plays like teenager Venus is fantastic. So I would suggest that. TV show on Netflix is a new one. It's called Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah.
Actually like based off an old anime, but it's like these intergalactic bounty hunters, and it's full of comedy. I've watched one episode so far, and it was a fun watch.
Nice. It's got John Cho in it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. It's good.
All right. Fantastic.
He's Harold from Harold and Kumar.
I almost turned on King Richard the other night, which I should have, because I turned on Curb and got like halfway through an episode. I was like, I've seen this before. It's the same thing. Every episode's the same thing. I'm not being a hater. So don't call me a hater.
Being a hater.
I just couldn't finish the episode.
You're kind of being
it.
A hater. Real,
I've seen it.
Real quick. Real quick. Real quick.
It's all the same.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick. Real quick. Real quick.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka is up 4-up. 4-up through 8. Bryson DeChambeau has yet to win a hole. Brooks Koepka 4-up through 8 in the match taking place at the Wynn Golf Club in Las Vegas, Nevada.
No one cares.
There are 4 holes left. Bryson can only hope to tie. Will he rage quit? Is something Rage Quit Watch is on now with 4 holes left. Brooks is 4-up through 8. As we give you live updates of the match.
I don't know why.
In the Wynn Golf Club.
No one asked for this.
Taking place in Las Vegas, Nevada. Your home for match updates here.
This is not.
ESPN 1000.
No, it's not. We are not your home for updates on the match.
I'm going to keep giving them. We've given them the whole time.
I would prefer you not.
I'm just going to text our Bryson bro.
How's he doing? Is he holding up okay?
And ask him if Bryson's going to win a hole.
Our friend Tim is really into Bryson DeChambeau. Like, really into him. And the dude sucks. Not Tim, but...
No, Tim does not suck.
But Bryson certainly sucks.
Yeah.
All right, it's a Friday. Bluck and Abdallah are here with you in for Waddle and Sylvie, which means we are not hosting Bluck and Abdallah tonight from 6 to 8. Which means we now have 1 hour left with all of you wonderful listeners here on ESPN 1000.
That Friday means night calls.
The one thing that we can do coming up in 2 minutes is we should take your calls. Friday night calls of Bluck and Abdallah coming up next in two.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.